Okay, Acts chapter 20. We're going to be talking about elders this morning. Reading verse 17, and then we'll drop down to verse 25 to 28. So Acts 20, verse 17, and then 25 to 28. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. Verse 25. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. So for the last couple of years at Rosedale, we've been moving toward an elder-based leadership. Last January at our annual meeting, we voted to proceed with an eldership in the church, and so we're doing that. In October, I'll present to you an evaluation process that we've put together for proposed elders. I'll introduce you to the proposed elders for Rosedale, and then at our regular business meeting in November, we're going to vote to affirm these elders, as long as they go through the evaluation process, which is actually taking place this month. By January, we will become an elder-led congregation. And hopefully you'll know a little bit more of what that means by the time we finish this message this morning. This morning, I want to share with you the biblical basis for eldership, and then the functions of an elder. And then in October, we want to review the qualifications of an elder. And on that Sunday, I will also present to you the proposed elders that we are looking at as well, who have gone through the evaluation process. I was going to do this this week and next week, but since we're going to the States, I've pushed that over to Thanksgiving weekend. So October, the first Sunday, we're going to have a communion service, and then on the Thanksgiving Sunday, we're going to continue on with this part two of elders, looking at the qualifications of elders. Good tape that I had made, Joe made this week, the role of the elder. It also speaks a lot about the characteristics that are required for an elder. I'll be putting that in the library, so that's a new CD that we have there, which you can take out. So that'll be available for anyone who wants to learn a little bit more about this whole thing of elders and qualifications for elders and so on. God has ordained that each local church function independently and under a plurality of elders or a plurality of leaders. They don't necessarily have to be called elders, but I'm using that term because we're quite familiar with it, and that's probably what the term is that we're going to use. But God has ordained that every local congregation be led by a plurality of leaders and be self-governing or independent. In the New Testament, each local expression of the body of Christ is to be independent and self-governing. From Paul's first missionary journeys, his strategy was to evangelize, gather those who came to Christ together in a church, find elders to lead them, and then go off to the next mission field. I'd like you to turn to Acts chapter 14. If you can leave your finger in Acts 20, you'd be doing yourself a favor because we're going back to Acts 20 just in a couple of minutes. But Acts 14, verses 21 to 23, verses there. It says, they preached, it's talking about Paul and those that were with him, they preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. After going through Pisidia, they came into Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word to Perga, they went down to Attalia. So they continued on doing their missionary work. They brought the church together, they appointed elders, and then they left the leadership of that church to the elders that they had appointed. Of course, they would write them letters. They would teach them the Word of God. They would continue to build them up in their leadership. But ultimately, it was a self-governing, independent fellowship led by a plurality of leaders, which they called elders. In the New Testament, we don't find one church ruling over many churches. We don't find one man ruling over a number of churches. We don't find a bishop ruling over an area of churches. We find every local church being ruled by its plurality of elders. I'm going to explain in a moment how these unbiblical systems might have developed, but for now, I just want us to look at the terms that are used for the leadership of the church. And there's three terms that are used in Scripture. The first one is elder. Okay? And if you go back to Acts chapter 20, you'll see in verse 17, Paul called the elders of the church together. So that's a common term for the leadership of the church in the New Testament. That's the word presbyteros. So you might have recognized that. We get our word Presbyterian from there. Presbyterians are elder-led, an elder-led church. Overseers or bishops is the second term, and that's found in verse 28. It says, of which I have made you overseers. That's the word episkopos, translated either as bishop or overseer. The NIV has used the word overseer because bishop has some very Catholic kind of connotations, and so that's probably the term that we would use rather than bishop, because it just has less baggage connected with that term. But both of those terms, you'll find both of those terms in your translations, overseer or bishop. Then the last word is shepherd, verse 28. Be shepherds of the church of God. Okay? So these three terms, elder, overseer or bishop, and shepherd, are interchangeable terms. Paul is speaking to the same group here in the scriptures that we read. He's speaking to the leaders of the Ephesian church, and he calls them in this passage elders, overseers, and shepherds, and they're interchangeable terms. Let me give you a couple of other references so that you don't think I'm just pulling that out of one place. Titus chapter 1, verses 5 to 7. Titus 1, 5 to 7, says, Paul is writing to Titus. He says, the reason I left you in Crete was that you might straighten out what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. Then he says, an elder must be blameless, the husband of but one wife, a man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. Since an overseer is entrusted with God's work, he's talking about the same person, the same leadership position here. He just uses a different term. He talks about elders, and then he changes to the word overseer. Same job description, same position, two different terms. That's all he's using there. 1 Peter chapter 5 is another one, and I'm just picking out the ones where interchangeable terms are being used. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. Again, we have all three terms used in this passage. So as I read it through, you'll probably be able to pick them up. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you. Those are instructions to me, by the way. You don't have to pay attention to that. But, not lording it over, not greedy, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So again, three terms are used there. Elder, shepherd, overseer. All to describe the same leadership position in the church. I hope that's clear to you. Elder, overseer, bishop, shepherd, and pastors included in that. I'll tell you how we got to pastor in a bit. Those terms all express the same leadership position. So from now on, you can call me Bishop Ron. That wouldn't work for me either. I'm just telling. If you did, though, that wouldn't be wrong. You could call me Overseer Ron or Elder Ron, Shepherd Ron. All those terms are interchangeable. We're familiar with the term pastor. We'll stay with the term pastor. We're familiar with the term elder. We'll stay with the term elder. But the point is, those are interchangeable terms. Our black churches like the term bishop, you know, Bishop so-and-so. And, you know, they get all dressed up and stuff, and, you know, they really get into it, and really cool. Bishop is a good term for them, you know. Wouldn't be a good term for me. But now you know they're interchangeable terms. Okay, in the early church, spiritual leaders were called elders. This was from their Jewish practice. Since the time of Moses, who had appointed elders to lead the people, eldership was part of the Jewish church. The influence of elders became stronger under Samuel and even stronger under the kings. And by the time of Jesus Christ, every Roman city with a significant Jewish population had what was called a Sanhedrin of 23 elders that would rule the Jewish people in that community. They would interpret the law for them. They would judge people who weren't keeping the law. And so the Jewish people were used to being led by elders. And so that term was adopted into the Christian church. The Christian church at the beginning was basically a Jewish people who had converted to Christ, found Christ as their Messiah. They adopted elder as the term for their leadership. In Jerusalem, we had not only a Sanhedrin, but the Great Sanhedrin, which was like 70 elders, and they're the ones who put Stephen to death for his blasphemy. You can read that in Acts chapter 6, chapter 7. So eldership for the Jewish, young Jewish church was just an easy transition for them. Although the New Testament adopted the term elder, they did not have the same function as the elders of Israel. The term was transferred, but not the job description was transferred. The elders took their functional instructions from the apostles and then later from the Word of God. And I'm going to show you, probably not this Sunday, but next Sunday, how the elders are under authority as well. They are under the authority of God's Word. And as they teach you God's Word and you learn God's Word, that is the standard by which you judge the eldership and accept it or refuse it. So you don't follow a position just because it's a position. You follow it because it's a biblical position that is teaching you biblical truth and living out biblical truth. So that's how the term elder came to be. As the church expanded in areas that were heavily populated by Gentiles, spiritual leaders came to be known as overseers or bishops. Episkopos is the Greek word that the Romans used for the leaders of their colony. Like there would be an episkopos over Philippi, which was a Roman colony. That would be his name, the fellow who was the leader of that particular colony. So this term would be familiar to Gentile believers and eventually replace the term elder for churches that were raised in the Gentile areas as Paul moved away from Jerusalem and Antioch and over to, I'm talking about Syrian Antioch just above Jerusalem. As he moved into Syria and Antioch and Lydia and Pisidia and over to Ephesus and all that area, gradually the term overseer was replaced the term elder. Same position, same job description, just a different term. Interchangeable as well. Although the term changed, the leadership functions remain the same as those of elders. In centers where Jew and Gentile believers were present, such as Ephesus, both terms were used interchangeably. And that's what we have in this passage that we read in Acts 20, you know, where the terms are interchangeably used. And the final term was the term shepherd. And from the Latin is where we get the word pastor from. So pastor is really from the Latin translation of the scriptures that they translated and used for many, many years. And that's where the word pastor comes from. And it basically is another word for shepherd. The term shepherd also finds its background in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, we have God as portrayed as the good shepherd. We read Psalm 23 this morning, the Lord is my shepherd. God often called his leaders in the Old Testament shepherds. Isaiah 40:11 is one example. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs of his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Rather, Isaiah 40 is an example of God as the shepherd of his people. Ezekiel 34, Isaiah 56, Jeremiah 23, Jeremiah 25, all places where God strongly chastises the shepherds of his people for not being true shepherds, but shepherds that were self-serving and serve themselves. And so shepherd was also a Jewish practical term and was applied to the church as well. So the term shepherd, the term overseer, the term elder are all interchangeable terms, and some were used in different circumstances because of the people that were in the churches at the time. Now in the Bible, God usually helps us to understand a subject by giving us a whole bunch of different views of that same subject. For example, God calls himself by many different names in the Old Testament, and each name gives us a different facet of the person and the character of God. God has many different metaphors for the church, and so helps us to understand, the church in many different ways. The church as a family, the church as a body, and somebody said there's like 30 or 40 different metaphors of the church in the New Testament, and all of them give us a different view of the church. Well, God's doing the same, I think, in this whole area of leadership in the local church by using the term elder, overseer, or shepherd, or pastor. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. The term elder, when I say that term to you, I don't know what it brings to your mind, but this is what it brings to my mind. Spiritual maturity, the wisdom of long experience, careful, deliberate consideration of circumstances, patience and control under trial, stability, strength of character, and an earned respect and authority. And another idea that comes to mind when I think about elder, I think of forgetfulness. Just thought I'd throw that in. Elder just has this aura about it, and it gives us some good connotations of what the leader of the church should be like. When we look at the term overseer, these are the kind of ideas that they generate in my mind. Management, arrangement of affairs, accounting, supervision, physical care, knowing what's going on and making sure it's being done within given guidelines, care of resources, responsible reporting to authority. That's an oversight. It's more of a managerial resource managing situation. And then a shepherd describes to me a tenderness, care, mercy, protection, guidance, discipline, feeding, sacrifice, defense, and provision. So each one of these interchangeable terms kind of define a different facet of the job description that the elder, the overseer, the shepherd is to have. Taken together, they describe the attitudes and the functions of the local leaders in the church. The New Testament also describes a different leadership in the church, which is called deacons. Those are separate. Deacons are separate from elders and overseers and pastors. Deacons is a separate leadership category. We're not going to get into it very much here today. We call our deacons at Rosedale the administrative board. And we meet once a month and just work out various things that need to get done around the church, organize schedules, and things of that nature. Deacons are appointed to assist the elders in carrying out the purpose of the church to make disciples. And that's the purpose of the church, to make disciples. I just want to take a moment here to go back to our sign-up sheet by the door there for our discipleship classes. Disciple literally means learner or student. Matthew 10:24, it says, well, let me read that to you. Matthew 10:24-25. This is a detour, so we'll get back on the highway in a minute. Just a detour on the purpose of the church to make disciples. Matthew 10:24-25 says this: A student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the student to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. And that word translated the NIV here, student, is the word for disciple. And it just means a learner or a student. As Christians, we need to commit ourselves to be lifelong students of God. You see yourself as a Christian, see yourself as a lifelong student of God. And what we're doing as a church, we're inviting you to become a lifelong learner by becoming a partner in our discipleship training program. So you commit to us and we commit to you, and we will take you through a discipleship training program. A lot of common stuff, but there'll be also stuff that is geared to your own personality and to your own gifting and so on as we get further on into it. So that's what we're going to talk about on October 4th. If you want to sign up for the lunch and get a little bit of an intro to that after church on October 4th, that's what we're inviting you to come to. And I would just encourage you to say, I'm going to become a lifelong learner of God. I'm going to learn what God's purposes are for me. I'm going to learn how to serve Him. I'm going to get trained in certain areas and certain giftings. And I want to commit myself to the leadership, and in turn, the leadership will commit themselves to your learning as well. So that's what that's all about. I make a plea for that here in the midst of that. So let's get back on the highway. Okay. So there's two levels of leadership in the church: deacons and elders. And they're working together to fulfill God's purpose to make disciples in the church. What happened is that over a period of time, as the elders in a church, you know, as the church grew larger, some elders may have become stronger, and then they might have been asked for their opinion or their leadership or some teaching in another local church. And over history and over time, a strong, good, solid teacher overstepped his boundaries and may have been providing oversight over two or three churches, and then over a whole area of churches. And they say, well, let's get Mr. So-and-so to take charge of these 20 churches. And we ended up getting a system where we have today in the Catholic Church a pope and cardinals and bishops and priests and deacons. And that's not a biblical principle. The biblical principle is self-leadership, self-governing, independent leadership with a plurality of elders in the local church. Some evangelical denominations have also adopted a system where a higher authority rules over a number of local churches. Any rule of man over a denomination or over a number of local churches that does not allow the local church to rule itself under God's word is not a biblical system. I believe that. You can argue that with me if you want later on. But I think that that's the principle of Scripture. Independent local churches led by a plurality of elders. And there's a safeguard in that in a very real way. We're going to end this morning by looking at six functions of an elder or an overseer pastor. And those functions are in your bulletin. By the way, the script of this message is online, as well as the audio of this is online on our church website. So if you ever want to, what was that he said there? You can either read it or listen to it again at your pleasure. So here's six functions of an elder, overseer, pastor. I'm just going to go through this list here, and I'm not going to read the scriptures. I'm just going to give this to you. Teach biblical truth. The difference in the list between the characteristics of deacon and elder, there's basically only one, and that's an elder must be able to teach. And so an elder is a teacher. Foundationally, an elder is a teacher, teaching doctrine and exposing wrong teaching. Number two, very important, an elder more model Christian behavior. For elders to communicate truth in its fullness, they must also model truth. I'm going to show you on the Thanksgiving weekend that the list of qualifications for elders and deacons is the same as the list of qualifications for the ordinary Christian. The only difference is there's responsibility on the elder to model those things in a consistent fashion so that others will know what they are to follow after. You read Paul's letters. He says often, follow me, follow my example, imitate me, just as I'm imitating Christ. So the elder is to be a model, not only to teach, but to lead by example as well. To maintain doctrinal purity, elders are responsible to maintain sound doctrine in the fellowship of the church. So that's very straightforward. Disciplining sinning believers, elders are to use the process outlined in Matthew 18:15-17 to discipline believers who are sinning. We've done that 3-4 times at Rosedale already. If you haven't heard about it, that's good, because that's what we're supposed to do. Just deal with it in the circle that needs to be dealt with, and further on if there's no compliance. Some people have just left the church. That's one way to deal with it. That's not the right way to deal with it. Others have followed the discipline and have benefited from it. But that's part of our job, is disciplining sinning believers. Oversee direction and finances of the church. Elders have responsibility to manage the direction of the church and its finances. You probably want to look up the scriptures on that one. And pray. Elders are to pray for the fellowship and for the sick. Acts 6:4 is an interesting verse. Prayer is put before teaching. It says we shouldn't be waiting on tables, but our calling of God is to pray and to teach the word. I think that order is very important. So to pray for the fellowship and for the sick. So those are six functions of an elder overseer. The pattern we find in the Word of God for leadership in the church is that the local church is self-governing and led by a plurality of elders who are supported by deacons. The terms used interchangeably for the local church leadership are elder, bishop, overseer, shepherd, pastor. Each term describes certain aspects of the varied role of the leader in the local church. The elders are to teach and preach and model Christian life. They are to maintain doctrinal and moral purity in the fellowship. They are to oversee the direction and finances of the church, and they are to pray for the church. So hopefully you've got a bit more of an idea now of what an eldership is all about, and we'll be talking more about that in October. I want to ask you in closing to turn to Hebrews chapter 13. So a couple of interesting verses on leadership there. Just want to draw your attention to them very quickly, and then we'll close this morning. Hebrews 13. First, let's read verses 7 to 8. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. God has appointed leaders in the church to teach. You are to follow that teaching, to examine their lives and to imitate their life. Those are the first two functions of the elder that we pointed out here, not only to teach but to model as well. So it says, remember your leaders who spoke to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. You may have had some bad leaders in the past, some disappointing leaders in the past. You may think that when another leader has left a situation, nothing would ever be the same, and things wouldn't go on, but they have. That's why I think the writer of Hebrews puts verse 8 here. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. You are to remember that it is Christ above all that is your leader, that is your guide, and in whom you trust. Even though God has appointed physical leaders over the church, ultimately the leader of the church is Jesus Christ. You can always make appeal to the chief shepherd. I love that verse in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, and the chief shepherd. You know, there are many times when I go to prayer, I say, okay, Chief Shepherd, I got this problem here. You know, how are we going to work this out? And that's the way it is, you know. I'm an under-shepherd to the Chief Shepherd. So if you've got a problem with the under-shepherd, talk to the Chief Shepherd. He'll talk to the under-shepherd, get it all fixed up. That's the way to do it. I don't have time for a story here. Sorry about that. All right, quickly. There was a church that didn't like their pastor, so they went to a very wise man, and they said, well, just pray for your pastor. Pray that God will remove him. So they started praying for the pastor. He became a great pastor. He announced he was leaving. They said, you can't leave. It was the guy he went back. He said, went back to this guy. He said, we want him to stay now. He said, well, just pray again, and maybe he'll stay. And so anyways, it worked out that way. The point of the story was, which I shouldn't have told anyway, pray for your leaders, and God will take care of the rest. Verse 17 says, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. So it says there, obey your leaders. It says, submit to their authority. Now, this doesn't mean blind following of everything that a leader tells you. You know, search the scriptures, see if what they're asking you to do is correct, because it's under God's authority, under God's word. But if you just don't like it, but you have no biblical reason not to follow, don't make trouble. Just obey and submit. You will be blessed in your submission. The church will be blessed in its submission as you obey your leaders. We could talk a lot about that. I think this is an amazing fellowship for our unity here and our desire to see what God wants done here. But we need to continue to obey and to submit to the leaders. You can ask all the questions you want. You can make all the suggestions you want. This is not like, we are right, we know what we're doing, don't bother us, just do it. No, it's like, you know, whatever information you want, we'll give you that information. So it's not that kind of obey and submit situation. But in the end, I want to encourage you to obey and to submit to your leaders, that God will bless His people. We, it says in this verse, as elders, carry a heavy responsibility before God in our care for you. And we must give an account to the Chief Shepherd for what has gone on. So we hold that responsibility dearly. It says in the end here, only obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden. You've made my work a joy in this place. It hasn't been a burden. It's been trying from time to time, but it has been a great joy to be an elder and pastor here, and God has given me great men to and women to work with as well, both in elders and deacons. I hesitated with the women because eldership is a male position. Deacons, I believe, are male and female positions, and I can defend that for you later on as well. One last verse, verse 18. It says there, pray for us. That's my request to you. Pray for the leaders here and for God's work here. God needs to get a stronger hold on us so that we can see Him work with greater power through us. So pray, 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 pray. If you don't like it, pray. If you do like it and you want more, pray. Prayer is always a good thing to do. Again, I want to tell you about this CD I'm going to be putting in the library. Sorry to go overtime this morning, but I wanted to get this part done. I actually started out the beginning of the week. I wanted to get all of this plus the qualifications done. And I saw it was going to be impossible, so that's why I ended up putting it into October.